Tonight, I don't know where to go from here, except but to mind the Lord. Folks, if you've not looked around, America's in trouble. Society as a whole is in trouble. The generation that's coming up behind us are troubled. And I don't lay the blame all squarely upon their shoulders. They're brought up in broken homes where there's no daddy. They're brought up in inner cities where they don't even know who their daddy is. They're brought up in a home that's troubled. And because that home is troubled, they are troubled. And the only remedy for America is the hope of the cross. I'm honest with you. We're in trouble, folks. We're at a crossroads in America. And this thing could go either way. I know what the scriptures declare about that there be a falling away. Folks, we've been kind of surrounded in this church and this church alone with the presence and spirit of Almighty God. I mean, we're almost on every service having record attendance. And God has really shrouded us and blessed us. And it just kept us almost from that. We've been insulated by His glory. But folks, it's not that way outside these walls. There are churches that are struggling. America's struggling. The family's struggling. The tragedies that we hear over and over and over, man, they prick my heart. And the only remedy is the cross. I don't know what to do tonight. I think that I'm going to quote a verse of Scripture and just see what God does with this. The very first word in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 in verse number 14 is the word if. There's a lot that hinges on that word. The results of the latter part of that verse are predicated upon the first word, if. You said, what is that verse of Scripture, preacher? Turn there and we'll just quote it together, read it together, whatever. And you know when a preacher calls for the responsible reading of God's Word, if you're in 53 different versions of the book, it's going to sound like utter confusion and chaos. We read responsibly from the King James Version here, and that's another message for another day, but I would like for you to stand in reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And we're going to read that one verse. You said, well, did you have this all pinned up? I don't have anything pinned up. I told Brother Kenny all day long I wrestled with the message and it just wasn't there. I used what I thought I was going to use tonight in the prayer room. You said, well, preacher, you're well rested now. You had a week to get a message. You had a whole time, downtime. I did have downtime. I had time to pray. I had time to reunite with my wife and kind of rekindle a flame there. But God didn't send anything specifically for this night. He didn't, Brother Tim. You said, what are you going to do? I'm going to mind him. Amen. You already got a little message, a little mini message. Many of you have already used the altar, so hopefully somebody getting some help. Let's read that together, and we will pause at the commas. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Brother Preacher Kenny, would you bless us in prayer, sir? Amen. Folks, thank you for affording us the opportunity to get away for a week. I surely enjoyed the blessings of God and enjoyed the time with my wife. And it's always good to get away. And honestly, if I didn't get away at least once or twice a year, I think I'd just go crazy. The troubles don't stop while I'm gone. You're still burdened while I'm gone. You're still hospitalized while I'm gone. You're still sick while I'm gone. But I'm thankful for people that'll step up and go on and make visits and do on my behalf and in my stead. I surely do appreciate that. I really do. And Saturday night, Miss Cindy, we were leaving Sunday, and we could have stayed another day or two probably and not even paid any more money or anything. But we knew we were coming back. And Saturday night, Miss Cindy said, have you got the message for tomorrow? And I'm thinking to myself, have I got the message for tomorrow? Either we're going to get up about 3 a.m. and we're going to drive home. And then I'm going to tell Preacher Chris, Chris, you're not preaching, I'm preaching. Or there's going to be another service that I was not aware of. So we get up on Sunday morning and I've got the message. And I've got an audience of two, me and her. And I reared back and I said, there's one of you women in here that better listen. I said, one of you women in here need to hear what I'm about to say without calling any names. One of y'all needs to get right with God. Now, when I say that, that would be very pointed to her. Would that not? But can I say tonight that there's somebody here tonight that needs to hear what's going on? I'm honest with you. There's somebody here tonight that's broken. There's somebody here tonight that's hurting. There's somebody here tonight that needs to understand that the only remedy is Jesus Christ. The remedy for America and the message, the question that I just alluded to, the fact of the nation's healing, it is all hinged upon the fact that if we would do what God said. But that's on a national level. Brother Tim, we're in trouble as a nation. We are in desperate trouble and we need the hand of Almighty God upon us. But bless God, drill that down. We're not just in trouble as a nation. Bless God, we're in trouble as a household. We're in trouble as a church. We're in trouble as a human being. I'm in trouble as a pastor. I'm in trouble as a preacher. I'm in trouble as a husband. I'm in trouble as a daddy. Why? Because I got children that's looking up to me. Oh, what's daddy going to do? I got a wife that's looking and say, what's my husband going to do? I got a church that's looking at me and saying, what's the preacher going to preach? I've got people that's looking at me and saying, what's the pastor going to do? And all these things coming at us all the time. Preacher Kenny, we need God and we need him in a big way. And we better stay cleaned up, prayed up, stayed up and close to the cross. If we're ever going to get help, Brother Tam, it's going to be because we listen to that first word in that little verse that I just read to you. If, and that word says if we would get rid of our sinful nature and our stinking flesh could be mortified or crucified or put to death. I tell you, if we just get ourselves out of the way and get rid of that sinful nature of man and get rid of that pride, Brother Derek, and get rid of that self-ego and all that stuff of self-worth. Best God, I'm worth nothing, Brother Tam. I'm just nothing but dust in the hand of Almighty God. And then he put in that precious water. And bless God, that then made clay. And then he formed me out of the dust to the ground. And he breathed into my nostrils through the womb of my mother and breathed into me the breath of life. And bless God, he saved me, Brother Tim. And then he called me to preach one day. But aside from him, brother, I'm nothing but a worthless nothing. I am worth nothing except that he saved me. I'm worth nothing. And I trouble like you do. I hurt like you do. I burden like you do. And I sorrow like you do. I grieve like you do. We all do, Brother Tim. And our only hope is Jesus. Amen. He said, if. And what's the next two words? My people. You said, preacher, now that was written to a bunch of Jews, and he's talking to the Jews. Are you going to do away with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 that tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Brother Scott, was that mean in the Old and the New Testament? If God called the Jews his people when he said, if my people, if that does not apply to me, then Jesus didn't die for me. Because I am his person. We are his people. The same as the Jews were under God. Bless God. We are the sheep of Jesus Christ's pasture. He is my good shepherd. We are his children. We are Christians. Amen. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Brother Grant, that was not a badge of honor. That was originally a derogatory term saying they're Christians. They're like he is. They're like he was. But bless God, if we would listen to the cross, Brother Chris, if we would listen to the preaching of that cross, if we would listen to the songs about the cross, we would realize that the man that hung there and bled and died because of us. Brother Tim, we crucified a man. We put an innocent man to an open shame. We crucified an innocent man with our with us, brother. We did it. You said, no, the Romans did it. Bless God, it was love that put him there. It was his love for us. And we look at this thing and, well, come willy-nilly, take it or leave it. My friends, we better take it. We better take it serious, Preacher Chris. We better take it serious, Brother Chris. We better listen to what the cross is crying out. There were seven sayings from that cross. And Brother Tim, they all spoke right to my heart. They're saying, your salvation plan is finished. It is finished. That's true, brother. It was finished. There need not look for another. He's the one. He says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. In that second Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14, he says, if my people would just do some things. Folks, what's it going to take for America, Brother Scott, to get back on her knees? What's it going to take for America to have that great awakening? You said it's not going to happen. It may not happen on a wholesale worldwide level, but Preacher Kenny, I don't look for it. I really don't. I pray for it, but I don't look for it. I look for a turning away. I look for a falling away. I look for a further decline. I look for the worst to get worse, and I look for us to get closer to heaven. And the closer I get to heaven, Brother Grant, I didn't realize what Grandpa's talking about when he said he's homesick. The older I get, Brother Tim, I know what they're talking about. They've seen just about enough of this old world, and they're starting then to see a little bit over yonder. And whenever they start talking about that, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, are you saved, preacher? Are you saved, Preston? Are you saved, preacher? Then you know what that makes you? It makes you a Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, that's you, would do these things. Troy, if we would just humble ourselves. Is that not what he said? Did he not say that six things the Lord doth hate, the seventh is abomination unto him? What was one of those? A proud look. Preacher Scott, he hates that stuff. I've not seen so much self-promotion in modern evangelism today. And I've seen it. It's sickening. It repugs. It just, Tim, it's terrible. It is. If you're not in the right clique, you don't get the call to preach. If you're not in this little circle, the doors are shut for you. Bless God, we're not in this thing as a competition. We should be in this thing for lost souls to see them saved. But now, if you're not in somebody's little trick or clique or go this way or that way, you don't get the opportunity. Bless God, that ought not be, Preacher Kenny. Bless God, we need to get the pride out of the heart and get the pride out of the pulpit and get back down on our face. He said, if my people would just do something, humble themselves. Humble themselves. You can't walk up to him with a proud look and a clenched fist and say, give me. Walk up to him, Brother Tim, and say, give me what I deserved. I dare any of you. You know what he would do to you? He could do to you. He could put you in the grave. He could send our souls to hell and not even look back. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. Why do we have such trouble with that? Why does America, in her arrogance and pride, why do we have trouble with that? I'm all for American exceptionalism. I'm all for American capitalism. I stand strong for the First and the Second Amendment and all the amendments. I love America. But brother, we're corrupt. We're a rotten apple right in the middle of the core. We are. We need God. We need a great awakening. The question's been today, who's the next evangelist? Who's the next preacher to America? Bless God, if it's not Jesus Christ preaching through the local pastors, there'll not be anything done. It's going to come through the pulpits. But the trouble is, Brother Grant, it's a popularity contest anymore. The first words out of somebody's mouth whenever you say we're having a revival is who's preaching? Who's preaching it? You know what that's already, Brother Kenny, what they're doing? They're formulating in their mind or heart if I'm going to come or not. Woe is me. Woe is us. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall simply humble themselves. You should define that and break that down for me. What is humble? What is to make yourself humble? It's to get as low as you can get. It's to stop thinking so highly of ourselves. The Bible said we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Well, the Bible says that, Brother Tim. That's a direct quote from the Scriptures. We should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. The Bible said to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then He will exalt you in due time. He'll bring us back up. We have trouble with that. Miss Ann, then not just humble ourselves. Read on. What else? Pray. Boy, if we've ever needed to pray, we need to pray now. You need to pray for your daddy. He's a brand new pastor. You need to pray for him. You need to pray for your wife who's sick, but you need to pray for this pastor. You need to pray for your husband who's sick, but you need to pray for yourself that God will strengthen you in these last days. You said, I've heard the last days things till I'm just about sick of hearing it. Well, guess what? You're one day closer to the end. I don't care how much you like it or lump it. Tim, we're getting closer. You know what? We're already an hour closer than we were when we come in here. I don't care how much you like the last days are upon us. The Bible says if we would just pray. What is praying? That's just communication with God. Not just talking, but listening back. And then seek my face. Well, you said praying and seeking God's face is one of the same thing. I differ with you on that. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. But what did God do, Brother Kenny? Whenever that son, the man Jesus Christ, that took the sin of the world upon him, what did his father do? Tim, what did he do? He turned his face away. If you're going to seek God's face, you're going to have to get the sin out, because God didn't look on his son on the cross at Calvary because he had taken the sins of humanity upon himself. And if you think he's going to excuse you when he wouldn't even acknowledge his son on the cross because of the sin that he didn't commit, he took it upon himself. The man that knew no sin became sin that we might have forgiveness from sin. But God didn't acknowledge him on the cross because of that sin. You think you're going to get away with it? I think I'm going to get, you better check up. He said, would pray and seek my face, then turn. What is that? That's a word we don't preach much in the churches anymore. Brother Scott, what is turning? Say the word, repent. Just simply repent. Turn away from and turn to. Turn away from sin and turn to God. And then the Bible says, I'm almost done. The Bible said, if we would just humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and what a blessing, will heal their land. We need a healing. We need a healing. But Tim, as I said earlier, the healing of the land, the forgiving of the sin, Brother Tam, is all predicated upon the first word, if. Are we willing to do just that? Am I willing to pray, to humble myself, to seek God's face, to turn from that unrighteousness and unholiness and put myself in the hand of a just and holy God? Am I willing to do that? Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to live holy in an unholy world. Am I right or wrong? Is it not, Tim, is it not hard to live godly in an ungodly society? I mean, these are the people that they kill each other and they despise you. They despise me. You got these nutbags on TV saying that our vice president is crazy in a mental case because he talks to God and God talks to him, and they call him insane. And now they're trying to define mental illness, and they're going to call us mentally ill because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, we're messed up. We're as nutty. We're messed up. We are crazy. In society, we have hung our hopes on government. We have hung ourselves out on personalities and on TV personnel. We need to hang our hope on Jesus. He's our only hope, Brother Tam. He is our only remedy. If my people would just do what I say, I would forgive their sins. I would forgive their sins and I would heal their land if they would just do what I've said. But I find that humanity doesn't want to do that. We'd rather walk around eating Tide Pods. We'd rather walk around getting high on bath salts. We'll get doped up on legal drugs. I'm talking about there's some stuff out there that's legally prescribed across the counters of the pharmacies of Walgreens that's got people just strung out and they're hung up on it. We're in trouble. Tonight I just asked you. I've already seen a half a dozen or more use the altar tonight. Miss Macy, if you just come over. Don't even need Brother Scott up here. Just play softly. And let's stand all over the house again tonight. You said, I've already used the altar. That's fine. But there's somebody back there tonight that's hurting. Somebody out there tonight that's struggling. Somebody out there tonight that is a broken vessel. Somebody out there tonight that does need to repent. There's somebody out there tonight that does need to turn from their wickedness. Somebody out there that does need to seek God's face. We've had two messages tonight. Worthy is the Lamb. And then this one, I don't even know if you'd put a title on it. But Chris, the Lord loves us. Kenny, he thought you were to die for. Troy, he loves you, son. What are we going to do with him? Tam, Pilate asked that question. What then shall I do with this man that you call Christ? They cried out the more. Crucify him. Crucify him. Well, then whom would I release unto you? If you want me to crucify this man called Jesus, the so-called Son of God, then who would you have me release? They said, give us Barabbas. You know what they said, Brother Tam? Give us a member of the insurrection. Give us a murderer. Give us the lowest and crucify the best. And that's what they did. But that was God's plan. He was that lamb as had been slain. Jerry, I'm glad you got things right with God. Glad you got saved. Glad you got things fixed. I've seen such a change in you, and I'm not just singling you out, but you're right in my eyesight right now. There was a change made. And there's others in here tonight. I've seen it, Keela. I've seen it. I've understood where you walked and the path that you took and how you got to where you're at. Mama wouldn't leave you alone. Mama was insistent. Go with me. Come on, go to church with me. You were coming out of a sense of duty because Mama was bringing you. But bless God, you found a sense of devotion. And now you love the Savior because of that. I've seen y'all. I know some of your stories collectively. It's a beautiful picture. It's a tapestry of beauty and love, Brother Tam. It's a beautiful thing that God does. It's beautiful. There's nothing like it. We all come from different walks, but we're all the same thing. Sinners. Some of us are saved, and praise God for that, and some of us are still yet lost. How about it tonight? If you need to come, Miss Macy's playing. Christians, bow your head and just softly start praying where you're at. You need to come tonight, even if you're not lost. Let's just say you're already saved, but you need to come. You've got a brokenness, and you want to get that thing worked out. You need God to bind you back together, to fix that is broken. How about it? Why don't you come tonight? How about that empty hole that's way down in your heart? You just need it filled. I told you what would fill it a while ago. He said, how about some oil? How about if I put that oil of gladness in? And how about if I just fix that right now? Listen, my friends, he can fix more than one thing at a time. He can do for you. He can do for me. He can do for others. I'll pray with him.